Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, before we get started, I feel like we need to acknowledge the terror attack in Manchester, England that took place on Monday night. One, because it involved a member of our Broadway community, and also because it is an absolutely reprehensible assault on everything that is good in this world. I struggle to even think of the proper ways to describe somebody who would attack a concert full of children, but that's neither here nor there. To everyone that was affected directly or indirectly by the attack, our thoughts are with you, and we thank all of the people. I was watching on the news, on the NBC Nightly News tonight, these people, a woman and a Muslim taxi driver who just spent all night trying to ferry people to safety. Our gratitude goes out to them. Now, James, I know your friend Jason Robert Brown posted publicly that he had spoken with Ariana Grande, whose concert was attacked hours after news broke. As he's a friend and a mentor of hers going back to the days of 13, the musical, he said that she was obviously shaken, but she was otherwise unharmed. Has he posted anything else, any other communique or anything else about that?
I haven't seen anything else regarding the attack. Everybody's pretty shaken because all, they're but for the grace of God go I, all of us could have been there. All right.
Yeah, I don't know how you transition out of that. So a clunky transition here. James, we are doing something with today's show, or I guess shows, that we have never really done before. Do you want to explain what we're doing today?
All right. So quickly before we get started, sometimes news outlets will receive a piece of information that's called embargoed. And sometimes we put out shows a little bit later than normal, because the embargoes have been at 8 a.m. or 8:30 a.m. But an embargo for some news that is going to come out is for 9 a.m. tomorrow. We didn't want to hold the show till 9 a.m. So what we're doing is we're going to have the show here in its place. And at 9 a.m., we're going to replace this download with another download so that you can hear the news that's going to be announced at 9 a.m. So if you are catching this before the 9 a.m. download and you're interested, go back and re-download the show after 9 a.m. and you'll hear the news that we held off for. All right, so why don't we start off with that news?
All right, James, if people are hearing this, that means that it is now after 9 a.m., and we can officially tell you that on October 7th, the new musical, The Band's Visit, will set up shop at the Barrymore Theater on Broadway. The musical, which features... That's exciting.
Great. That's great.
It definitely is. The musical features a book by Itamar Moses and a score by David Yazbek. It had an award-winning run at the Atlantic Theater last season, started in, I think, November and ended in January, and it immediately generated Broadway buzz. James, I have a feeling this one might have actually moved to Broadway this spring had Tony Shalhoub, who was one of the stars of the show, not already been committed to The Price on Broadway. As it was off-Broadway, the show will be directed by David Cromer. No casting has yet been announced, but at the Atlantic, as I said, the show starred Tony Shalhoub, Ariel Stachel, who has received some, I think, a Drama Desk nomination, and Katrina Link, who is currently on Broadway and in Descent, but she's already won a Laurel for her performance in The Band's Visit and received the Theater World's Dorothy Loudon Award for Theater Excellence for both this show and in Descent. So lots of really good material for performers in there as well. You might remember that in the musical, an Egyptian police band arrives in Israel to play a concert. After a mix-up at the border, they are sent to a remote village in the middle of the desert with no bus until morning and no hotel in sight. These unlikely travelers are taken in by the locals. Under the spell of the desert sky, their lives become intertwined in the most unexpected ways. The press notes say that The Band's Visit celebrates the deeply human ways music and laughter connect us all. James, I have no idea if this show will succeed on Broadway. It seems all of our old rules about what will and won't work on Broadway have been thrown out the window in recent years. But for better or for worse, I'm glad that a show like this is giving it a try on the main stem.
Well, we may have noticed that The Band's Visit is racking up in the awards season in the off-Broadway awards, and rightfully so. So this is really exciting. I love Tony Shalhoub. I love that something that's kind of kooky is coming to Broadway, and it's got quite the cast and quite the creative team. So very exciting. There's Michael Bortantier calling. Hold on. So, yeah, I think this is really exciting.
Awesome.
All right, next up, the complete list of the 2017 Obie Award winners.
Yeah, yesterday on yesterday's show, we told you that we were recording while Leah Delario was hosting the Obie, so we didn't have all of the winners, so we were going to save them for today. So we wanted to run through some of the bigger Obie prizes here. In the Best New American Theater Work category, it has two winners, each receive a paltry $500 prize. The first one goes to Jennifer Kidwell and Scott R. Shepard. I guess they've got to share the $500 for Underground Railroad Game. The other one went to JT Rogers for Oslo. The Playwriting Awards went to Christopher Chen for Caught and Lynn Nottage for Sweat. The Musical Theater Award went to Itamar Moses and David Yazbek for The Band's Visit. The Ensemble Awards went to director Bartlett Shear and the cast of Oslo and Lila Neugebauer for the and the cast of The Wolves. The Performance Awards went to Matthew Broderick for Evening at the Talk House and Shining City, Bobby Cannavale for The Hairy Ape, Kevin Gere for Sustained Excellence. This was given in memoriam, as we mentioned on yesterday's show. Keisha Lewis for Mary and Rosetta in The Skin of Our Teeth, Heather McRae for Come Back Little Sheba, Amy Ryan for Love, 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 Pete Simpson for Sustained Excellence, and Michael Urie for Homos or Everyone in America. Special citations were also given to Anna Deavere Smith for Notes from the Field and Taylor Mack for a 24-decade history of popular music. $4,000 Obie grants went to the Irish Repertory Theater, Pearl Theater Company, and Playwrights Realm. The Ross Wetstein Award. Am I saying that right, James? Are you familiar with that?
I have no idea. I looked at that and I said, "Oh, I'm so glad Matt's saying that."
Wetstein Award. I apologize. That's a lot of consonants together. The Ross Wetstein Award, which is a $3,000 prize, goes to Theater for a New Audience. And as we discussed previously, the Lifetime Achievement Obie this year goes to the incredible Paula Vogel. We have the full award winners in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com if you want to see all of them there.
Okay. We finally got last week's Broadway grosses. And maybe I was thinking, you know, tell me what you think, why we got it late.
Well, James, I think we've kind of figured this out, and I think the delay in the grosses came because the Broadway League was dotting its T's and crossing its I's, because when last week's grosses were finally announced, you got that, yeah, finally announced yesterday, it was with an accompanying press release that heralded the fact that the recently concluded 2016-2017 Broadway season was the highest grossing in history. I mean, between inflation, premium tickets, and $1,000 ticket prices, that's not really a surprise. In total, last season grossed $1,449,321,564.64. James, to be honest with you, barring a major change in fortunes on Broadway or the national economy, I would expect the grosses to continue to rise year over year for the foreseeable future. But what is also good about this release and information from the Broadway League is that the 13,270,434 audience members is the second largest total in Broadway history, trailing only last year, even though the 1,580 playing weeks this previous season was down 4.1% from 2015-2016. For reference's sake, this most recently concluded season's 13.27 million audience members is really not that far off the previous year's 13.32 million. Okay, looking at the grosses for the season's final week, the grosses increased by about 2.45% from the previous week, and 26 of Broadway's 35 shows, not including 1984, which was just in its first week of previews last week, showed week-to-week gains, and they were in the black last week. Hamilton was back above 3 million, leading the way, followed by The Lion King and Hello, Dolly, both less than $100,000 from 2 million, and again, Dolly is doing all of that with just 7 performances. Next is Wicked, Aladdin, Waitress, The Book of Mormon, Dear Evan Hansen, Natasha Peer and the Great Comet of 1812, Sunset Boulevard, also with just 7 performances, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Anastasia, Come From Away, and The Phantom of the Opera, all above $1 million. War Paint is right on the doorstep of breaking 7 figures as well. The two shows that closed their doors on Sunday, Amelie and The Glass Menagerie, did see increases. Amelie picked up an extra $93,000 to go out at over $490,000, and Menagerie saw a $54,000 bump to end its run on $335,674. James, some of the new shows that we had previously been worried about are seeming to turn things around and find an audience. Bandstand picked up $50,000 to have its best week on Broadway yet, with nearly $619,000. And while A Doll's House Part 2 isn't exactly beating down the million-dollar door, it again set a new high for its Broadway run, moving up $21,000 to $325,000. And what's interesting about that, James, is that's that's tiny, you know, in terms of what these grosses are. But for Doll's House Part 2, it did gross $325,000. Its total potential is only $633,000. So it's actually, you know, not doing bad. It's like the little engine that could. Groundhog Day saw a $20,000 decline, but was still around $907,000 last week, just behind Miss Saigon, which was at $915,000. James, another thing that jumped out to me was that 20 of the 36 shows on Broadway last week had over 90% of their houses full. Obviously, with Tony voters and papering and other comps, that doesn't tell the whole story. Attendance isn't the full story. It's all about how much money you're making off that. But for it to not even really be the true summer tourist season, that's still pretty impressive, I think, right?
Absolutely. It is very impressive. And also, we had was last week the unseasonably warm week. So I think that we probably had some people that were more likely to get out and about than stay home. So well, and that, that might have added.
Well, and I would be interested to see. I wish the Broadway League broke things down by days, because I would be interested to see how the accident that happened in Times Square last week with the car hitting pedestrians. I wonder if that seemed to have any noticeable impact on some of these shows at all. It doesn't seem overall that there was anything major. It didn't seem like people stayed away on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, because things seem to be pretty healthy. But I would be interested to see if that Friday fluctuated a little bit more. I think it was it Friday? I don't remember exactly the day, but yeah. Maybe Thursday. But either way, I'd be interested to see exactly if that had any impact or not.
Okay, what's up in the show and casting news?
James, what are you doing on Monday, July 24th?
Monday, July 24th. Usually Mondays, I like to cry into my coffee.
Fair. I've got a better alternative for you, because yesterday it was announced that on that day at the Williamstown Theater Festival, WTF will play host to a benefit concert entitled Make Someone Happy with Kelly O'Hara. The concert was for musical theater development at WTF, and Kelly O'Hara will return to the Williamstown Theater Festival. She's done a number of things up there before. So, James, tickets are now available for an annual contribution of $2,500, and individual tickets will go on sale on June 1st. WTF also announced yesterday that Jeff McCarthy had joined the cast of A Legendary Romance, and Reg E. Cathy, Glenn Davis, and Tavi Gevinson have joined Moscow. Damn it, I screwed up the last one. There were other schedule and casting changes, especially around their Fridays at 3 reading series. We will have a link to those in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com if you want to get all the information from Williamstown Theater Festival. In other news yesterday, Bandstand officially launched Band Together, the Broadway Veteran Project, a sponsorship program allowing United States military veterans access to sponsored tickets to the show. The program encourages individuals and organizations to sponsor tickets for veterans to see Bandstand by making a tax-deductible donation through Got Your Six, a nonprofit that highlights projects that portray narratives about military personnel and their families accurately and responsibly. Bandstand is the first Broadway production to be Six certified by Got Your Six. To kick off the project, the show will hold a talkback after tonight's show, and Bandstand cast members will perform at the Intrepid on Sunday, May 28th at 12 noon as part of Fleet Week. That's pretty cool, James. I am kind of – this is kind of the things we hear a lot of off-Broadway theaters doing. But I'm glad to see a Broadway show like Bandstand making the initiative.
Yeah, that's – I saw that press release come through, and I thought that was really cool. And Got Your Six, I know what that means because I watch NCIS.
Do you know the rules? Do you know all the rules?
Oh, I've got a T-shirt with all the rules on them.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that later. Anyway, finally in the show and casting news yesterday, producers announced that a new production of Stuffed, a play by the self-described Queen of Mean, Lisa Lampanelli, will play a limited run at Off-Broadway's West Side Theater this fall. Directed by Jackson Gay and starring Lampanelli, the show will begin previews on October 6th. The show ran Off-Broadway last fall and at that time co-starred the great Anne Harada and has gone through some revisions since. They've tinkered with things, and they're bringing it back off Broadway. In the show, four characters are a lifelong dieter, a bulimic, a confident overweight gal, and a permanent size zero. The script maintains, apparently, Lampanelli's famously irreverent voice. James, I've interviewed Lisa Lampanelli. I was a fan long before that. So seeing her really dive into a piece of theater is really cool for me. Are you – I don't think you saw this because we would have talked about it, but are you familiar with her comedy at all?
No, I'm not.
Whew, man, she is brutal. There is no person, no group that she will not make fun of. But what I've always liked about her is it always feels like it's a friend and it's good natured ribbing, even though some of the things she says are absolutely vile and disgusting. But I love her anyway.
All right. So next up, we've got our good friend Kurt Deutsch from Shikaboom has a new job.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it seems almost like in some one way or another, almost like a promotion, because yesterday Warner Chappell Music announced that Shikaboom and Ghostlight Records president Kurt Deutsch would be taking over the theatrical and catalog development for Warner and Chappell Music. He will continue to oversee Shikaboom and Ghostlight labels, which will move to distribution by Warner's ADA as of August 1st. As everybody, you know, in the theater community kind of knows, Kurt Deutsch is a former actor who founded Shikaboom with Sherry Renee Scott and then added the Ghostlight imprint a little bit later. And until Broadway Records came along, they were really the only one that was really making an effort to preserve as many Broadway and even off-Broadway cast albums as could be done when they weren't big enough to get noticed by Sony or something like that. So I've actually been on This Week on Broadway when we interviewed Kurt. So I don't know him nearly as well as you do, but this is a great thing for somebody who's really given quite a bit to the Broadway community that a lot of people outside of the community itself don't actually know.
Yeah, Kurt totally rocks, and he has worked so hard building Shikaboom over the years, and this is a great, great combination of the two companies. Kurt brings in a tremendous insight into the Broadway community for Warner Chappell, and not only that, but there's a great way for the current projects that are on Shikaboom to get out to the Warner Chappell public.
Absolutely.
All right. Trump sets his sights on the arts and public broadcasting.
James, this is becoming the idiotic skipping record of 2017, but yesterday the administration announced its official budget for fiscal year 2018, and it called for the eventual elimination of funding for the National Endowment for the Arts. According to Variety, the budget proposal calls for providing just $29 million in funding to, quote, conduct an orderly closeout of the agency beginning in fiscal year 2018. That is just a fraction of the estimated $158 million outlay for the NEA this year. Similarly, the budget calls for just $30 million to close out the Corporation for Public Broadcasting as well. Now, the budget, which seems to cut really every imaginable safety net and program that's out there, it also seems to have a $2 trillion math error, but let's be honest, if I was doing that math, I'd probably have a $2 trillion math error too, because I'm an idiot when it comes to numbers. But anyway, needless to say, this is not official till it is approved by Congress. So all of you out there, continue to persist and do your thing. The last time this was floated, the arts community and people with any sort of sanity made sure that their Congress people knew that this was a bad idea. Speaking of that, that got the great and wonderful Actors Equity president Kate Schindel to release another statement yesterday talking about how necessary the arts were in the National Endowment for the Arts. Specifically, she said in her statement, The NEA supports middle-class arts jobs in every congressional district in the country. The last thing we need to do is slash a program that creates and sustains jobs in small and regional theaters all over America. Thousands of our members have already spoken up about how the NEA is an economic lifeline in so many places. Members of Congress heard us loud and clear when they decided to maintain the NEA's funding for the rest of 2017. As Congress takes up the new budget, Actors Equity will continue our fight to protect the NEA's critical seed funding that helps productions get off the ground in small and regional theaters. James, we've talked about this the first time they went through this, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more, but I'm hoping that what I saw on the news tonight, as I mentioned, I watched Lester Holt tonight, that even there are some Republican congressmen and senators who have said that this budget, just on face value, is dead on arrival.
Well, we'll stay on top of it, and bring it to, how do you make a $2 trillion mistake?
I forgot to carry the three.
Is minus the takeaway or the add? I forget.
I don't know. Who knows?
All right. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Up Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
My name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Michael Portantier really wants to talk to me, so I better get to that. We will be back and talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.